everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Each and every show, we go inside the Beltway and let you know what's going on in Washington with our friends from Talk Radio News. Victoria Jones joins us and tell you we're back to the deficit and the debt. And this time, John Boehner had sort of his head in the till. Got a schooling or scolding, if you will, from Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York. Victoria, hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Tell me what Schumer said. I heard it was a big people were. Somebody had texted me and said, oh, you got to see what Schumer said about Boehner and what he's doing with the whole debt thing. What did he say?
Well, yeah, Schumer wasn't happy because Boehner gave a very big speech tonight, which I'll get to in just a moment, to the Economic Club of New York. But basically, Schumer said today that Boehner is playing with fire by not signaling to captains of Wall Street, who Boehner's speaking to today, that he would definitely approve an increase in the debt ceiling, no matter how far along negotiations are. And, you know, Schumer mocked Boehner's long-running call for an adult conversation with the American public and said Speaker Boehner needs to have an adult moment right here and now. He also said, he basically went on to say that we really need to deal with the debt ceiling any second now. But the big thing that he was saying was that Speaker Boehner needs to have an adult moment right here and now. I mean, he was really, really ticked off about this speech that Boehner's giving to major Wall Street people tonight.
Yeah. And Obama's going to meet with both Senate caucuses, right, on how to cut the deficit. When does that happen?
Wednesday, he's going to be meeting with Senate Democrats. This is basically with all Democratic senators. And then Thursday, he's expected to meet with Senate Republicans. Then in the next few weeks, he's supposed to meet with a Democratic and Republican caucuses over in the House. Jay Carney announces today at the briefing. And of course, the Wednesday and Thursday meetings will come on the heels of tomorrow's meeting at Blair House between Vice President Biden and negotiators from both chambers. And that's the second round in the White House-led deficit reduction talks.
Yeah, I have a feeling we might be talking about that right up until, what was it? Initially it was the 16th, was that's it, that's the drop dead date, but now I think Tim Geithner said that was pushed. It's actually, it's further down the line than the what I would call the drop dead date for
Geithner is saying August the 2nd, but that's not what Schumer is saying. Basically, Schumer is saying if nothing's happened by July the 15th or so, the markets are going to start getting really worried. He wants it done soon.
All right, so we got a couple of new dates, July 15th and August 2nd. How about this deal? Because, of course, we're just a week and a day off of what happened with bin Laden, the U.S. going into Pakistan and getting bin Laden, shooting him and taking his body out. And apparently there was some deal in place between the Bush administration and Musharraf. Is that right?
Yeah, the British newspaper The Guardian is reporting that there was a deal struck between military leader General Pervez Musharraf and President George W. Bush after bin Laden escaped U.S. forces in the mountains of Tora Bora in late 2001. And this is according to serving and retired Pakistani and U.S. officials. And the deal was that Pakistan would allow U.S. forces to conduct a unilateral raid inside Pakistan in search of bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri, and whoever the number three was, because the number three always gets killed and there's high turnover. And afterwards, both sides agreed Pakistan would vociferously protest the incursion. And what's more, senior Pakistani officials said it had been struck under Musharraf and renewed by the army during the transition to democracy, which was a 6-month period between February 2008, when Musharraf was still president, but a civilian government had been elected.
Wow, that's interesting, because then you think of the Musharraf statements that he made, I think, to the Washington Post right after the bin Laden stuff happened, and those two things don't jive, do they?
No, they don't, because he's been one of the most vocal in this last week about it. And you're thinking, why is he bothering? He's running an exile party now.
Yeah, no kidding. Always fascinating. Victoria Jones, thanks so much. Talk Radio News, we appreciate the insight.
Thank you so much.
All right, just to pick up on that theme about Pakistan giving the green light, 10 years ago. How about that information being uncovered, as Victoria was saying, in one of the big British papers, The Guardian? And it's true. They were told they could conduct a raid inside Pakistan if they knew where he was hiding. So isn't it interesting that Musharraf, the former president, comes out swinging at what happened last week in terms of bin Laden, yet while he was in place, it was okay, if you can find him, he's yours, under the terms of what they had agreed upon. Pakistan would allow forces to conduct a raid inside their country in search of the number one bad guy on our list. And Ayman al-Zawahiri, now you wonder, as the number three guy, he's also put on that list, but all bets are off. Musharraf's not around. This was an agreement between Bush and Musharraf that if either one of them knew where Osama was, they were going to come and get him, period. So that deal puts a new spin on that political storm that was triggered by bin Laden's death in Abbottabad, 35 miles south of Islamabad, where those Navy SEALs went into his so-called mansion or safe house on May 2nd. And the Pakistanis still say they have no clue he was there, didn't know anything about the raid, which they didn't know anything about the raid. The president certainly has confirmed that, saying nobody was told about it. It was tighter than a drum. And the prime minister, Yousaf Razi Jalini, is warning that Pakistan reserves the right to retaliate with full force should this happen again. Whew. We haven't heard the last, trust me, of the finer details of what happened in the bin Laden situation. In other words, like this Musharraf thing was an interesting thing, certainly, to come out. Boehner was also discussed there, and he's the top dog Republican-wise in Congress, wanting trillions and trillions of dollars in spending cuts as part of the passing the legislation allowing the government to continue to keep borrowing and meeting its obligations to investors. But there's still a huge battle here, and you heard Victoria mention the dates. Originally, May 16th was the date that came out. Isn't it interesting how that got pushed back or got pushed forward to July and even further beyond that, August? The speaker says that any legislation to raise the debt limit beyond $14.3 trillion, that cap, has to be accompanied by spending cuts larger than the amount of the permitted increase in the debt. Like, it's just a bloody mess. That's what it is. And really what it is, people marking territory at this point. And now that the dates have been pushed, this conversation will continue to plague us through the next couple of months. And the Treasury Secretary says a failure to increase the federal government's ability to borrow would kill our economy. Kill our economy. And there's some people that would hunt us down for the money that they're owed. I mean, actually, that's where it would really cripple us. But who put us in this position in the first place? Coming up on the flip side, we bounce back to Osama bin Laden and Islamic terrorism, the religious aspect of it all. Stay with us.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
To America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. We've been talking, of course, a lot about Osama bin Laden this past week and a half. In fact, on this show, we've been talking about Osama bin Laden for a very, very long time. So what now with the recent death of bin Laden? A lot of people questioning, could we see Islamic terrorism run rampant in retaliation for the shooting of bin Laden and then burying his body at sea. Joining us on the show, pleasure to welcome Stephen Blanton. He's got a newly released book called The Heart of Islam, and he's an expert on religion. Stephen, thanks so much for popping on the show.
Thanks very much for having me, Kate.
I guess initially, I want to know your reaction. I'm asking everybody this, too. It's a week and a day later, but what was your reaction when you heard about bin Laden?
That is not going to make one bit of difference as far as terrorism goes. The core tenet of Islam is to conquer the world. And that they will do it any means possible. Sometimes they use excuses, like they will say that they were first attacked by us, and therefore anything that they do is justified. They will say that we've insulted the Quran, insulted Allah, insulted Islam, insulted Muhammad. They use all manner of excuse, but the core problem is in their holy book, the Quran, in which Allah commands them to fight until every person in every country is a Muslim, subservient to Muslim rule, or dead.
So you don't think that, the theory is that you cut off the head of the snake, and sure, there's others out there, but you really have gotten rid of the head of this whole Al-Qaeda thing, and we know there are still others there, but it's not going to, it would taper off. You say no way, because that's just not at the core of what the religion's about.
Yes, I disagree entirely. Osama bin Laden is like a grain of sand. It just has no impact whatsoever on the world brotherhood of Islamists.
Yeah. Do you think, so by doing this, will this spawn more attacks? Does this spawn more attacks because of it?
I say no.
No, it doesn't. So it's still the same thing. They're still going to be on the same mission they were. So it's not going to necessarily rally anybody because that's what they're programmed to do. That's what they want to do anyway, right?
That's correct. They started their attacks on the world when Islam was founded, and they've been continuously attacking and conquering territory ever since. That's almost 1,400 years. Many people are not aware of it simply because they don't look. The information is available. Mm-hmm. It's in libraries everywhere, the history of the expansion of Islam. You can look it up.
Yeah.
You can read the Quran to learn exactly what their God, Allah, has told them to do, and specifics, exactly how he's told them to do it.
So would you look for – what would you say the United States should do? What would you advise? Because do you think there's a fear that the guard would be let down, that, hey, we got bin Laden, so we're not going to worry about it? Or we're not we have these new alerts with Homeland Security, but really people kind of breathe a sigh of relief. Are you more concerned about that?
We should remain diligent. There's no question about it, because the Muslims are not going to stop attacking.
In your book, you talk about the heart of Islam. What specifically are some of the strokes that you pen there that people would be interested to know? Like you said, a lot of people don't realize what's out there, the expansion of Islam, etc., knowing the Quran. What do you talk about specifically in your book?
Well, first of all, it's important to understand that their holy book, the Quran, is very sacred to all of them, whether they're devout Muslims or not. They revere it. They cover it in velvet, and they put it on the highest shelf above everybody's head in the house. If an infidel should even touch it, it infuriates them and it incites them to violence. And so this book is very, very near and dear to the heart of every Muslim, whether they're devout or not. But for the devout ones, especially the ones who speak Arabic, and that's the language that the Quran was first translated into, in the Quran, it requires all believers to fight on until every person is a Muslim, subservient to Muslim rule, or dead. The penalty for apostasy is death. The penalty for insulting Islam, Muhammad, or the Quran is death. And they proudly proclaim they commit mass murder in the cause of Allah. And so the core beliefs are in their holy book, and this is never going to change. The good news is that 80% of Muslims are not devout Muslims. Mm. They don't speak Arabic, and they're forbidden to read any Quran that's translated into a language other than Arabic. They only hope for mankind to stop world conquest by the Islamists is to reach out to these 80% of Muslims who are not devout. They can be reached. We can invite them into the world of peace. Unless, though, we get the word out of the Muslim core belief, and that is world domination. If we don't broadcast that into every neighborhood and every country so that it's widely known that Islam is not comparable to any religion, rather it's comparable to fascism and communism under Stalin, when the world knows that it's not a religion but an ideology of hate and world conquest, then perhaps these 80% of Muslims who are not devout will begin to reconsider their beliefs and also reconsider whether they would prefer to live in peace and prosperity rather than hatred and war.
Yeah. We're speaking with Stephen Blanton. He's got a new book out called The Heart of Islam. He is an expert on religion. What's your religious background? Because people will want to know about that.
I was raised Southern Baptist.
Mm.
I'm now attending an Episcopalian church.
And what do they say? I'm curious. I love what you said about the 80%. I agree with you. It's the pushing the peace that's so vital. But I think, Stephen, that's the thing that's missing. I think that's not part of the discussion in a lot of cases.
It's not. And I'm appalled. When I watch the news on the television, no matter whether it's a liberal or conservative station, and look at our government representatives talking about Islam, nobody seems to get it. The problem is not Muslims. The problem is Islam. We need to be fighting the ideology. And, of course, that strikes fear into the heart of the experts that you hear in the news media. The experts, of course, are afraid to say anything about Islam itself, because in America we welcome all religions. And my answer to that is, that's great, and it's true, but Islam is not a religion.
Mm. I also agree with you there. I think there's a confusion about it. That's why that when you said the 80%, I think that's such a vital number, just even thinking about that. I say that all the time on America Tonight, that there's a big difference. And you specifically talk about the Quran and Arabic and the difference there, because certainly there are plenty of people that don't follow that. Do you think if there were more Muslim people that were out there saying, listen, don't confuse the two. This is not the road we're going down. We're peaceful. We're Americans. We just happen to have a different religion, but our religion is not Islam. It's not, we're not following the tenet of that. We're not trying to destroy the peace. Do you think because there's not enough Muslim people who said that. If there was more of that, do you think that would help?
That's my greatest hope, that they will do that. But you need to understand that from their perspective, they have to fear for their lives and lives, their wives and children. And they fear death because, remember, the penalty for apostasy is death. And all the Arabic-speaking Muslims, the devout ones, who generally come from the Middle East, they come into the mosques where they weren't necessarily preaching hatred before, and they inform the imam, let's call him a peaceful imam, that, you know, the Quran commands you to preach world conquest, and you're not doing it, and therefore, guess what? You know, you're subject to execution if you don't come around. And so these Arabic-speaking, hateful Muslim, devout Muslims, not all Arabic-speaking Muslims, I must add, are terrorists. They're just not.
Right.
It's an individual choice.
Right.
But the ones who cannot speak Arabic are not even allowed to pray to Allah in any language other than Arabic. And so more than 80% of Muslims don't even understand the prayers they recite each day.
Yeah.
So the people don't speak out. The 80% do not speak out for fear for their lives and for the welfare of their wives and children.
Yeah, and you think that's in the United States, too, not just in Europe, not just in the Middle East, obviously.
It's in the United States, too.
Yeah, scary. Very enlightening. Stephen Blanton, let's hope that there is that push for peace, the heart of Islam. Thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Extend your life with ExtendoVice.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about ExtendoVite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now, and my doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know ExtendoVite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from ExtendoVite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Over a week later, America, and the talk is about retaliation. Will there be any kind of an increase in violence toward the United States after the death of bin Laden? So far, by all accounts, you would almost say that's not happening. However, in Islamabad, they had a lot of suspicion that started to surface on Monday that Pakistan's intelligence service leaked the name of the CIA chief in that area to the media there in anger over that whole raid that killed bin Laden. So that's another outing of an American covert op. Boy, you'd have to get out of there. How could you possibly stay? As soon as possible. Run. Do not pass go. Think that person gets out alive? So this is the interesting thing. You're a covert CIA guy. You tip off or you get tipped off about bin Laden's hiding place. You've been there 6 months and then you bring in some others and you have eyes on the bin Laden compound. And remember, all of this started to surface for the president last August, so almost a year ago, give or take some months, obviously. So the U.S. is saying this spy chief who's been outed, they're not going to pull him. But I would think that the relationship between our country and Pakistan has to be, if anything, strained. Here's the deal. No matter what, that was the right game plan. Are you kidding me? All that surveillance on the house, the money that was dumped into doing that, knowing he's there, swooping in those SEALs, doing what they did, getting him, burying him at sea, that's the way it had to go down. I'm sorry, that's the game plan that worked. It's ridiculous, all the second guessing of it. Ridiculous. But pushing the ball forward, I think the question is, what about any kind of an increased attack on the United States? The so-called sleeper cells. People waiting to do us harm. Tunnels, bridges, airports, all of that. Will we see that this fear level, will just be enhanced? That's the question. I am the poll princess, as all of you know, so, and we give it to you from all perspectives. But the Rasmussen poll says 56 rather, want to bring troops back from Afghanistan. We've talked about this. Now we're talking about, okay, got bin Laden, that was the whole idea, the troops, bring them back. So this new report highlights that. Immediate withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan. 35% say that's the way to go. The combined total, 56%, that's up since the beginning of March, 13 points from September, 19 points from September 2 years ago. So you can see where the pendulum is swinging on Afghanistan. Now, this is the first Rasmussen report since the killing of bin Laden. And we have to go back to October of 2001 when that war against Afghanistan was launched because that Afghani government was harboring Al-Qaeda after the 9/11 attacks, right? That was the reason we were told. So Afghanistan is now officially America's longest-running war. The full withdrawal is supposed to happen in 2014, but many would rather see that happen now. What do you say? You can always toss in your 2 cents on this. Remember, this overnight highway is all about water cooler buzz and your opinions. 800-259-5791 or americatonight.net. Speaking of that, we're going to head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, thank you very much. We do have mail. Still, a lot of it has to do with bin Laden. And, of course, why not? This has been a huge story for almost 10 years. Actually, longer than 10 years for many people. But we'll say 10 years when all eyes were on the idea of getting bin Laden. So here's a question from Madeline. Madeline asks, "Hello, America Tonight. Do you think I should be concerned because I'm traveling and I'm traveling to Europe in the next couple of weeks? Is there any danger of terrorist attack because of the United States killing bin Laden?" Which, by the way, I say bravo to the president who I did not vote for and I will not vote for again, but I don't think you can take that away from Obama. Okay, so two different things, but really the main thing, should you travel, you know, nobody can tell you 100%, Madeline, that you're safe. Do I think there'll be another attack? Well, I hope not. I hope if you're traveling there that you have a safe flight and you don't have to be concerned about it. You know, the thing you can do is just be vigilant in looking around and profiling people. See, the people in the airport are allowed to profile. If you see anything suspicious, please call TSA agent aside. Isn't it interesting? I thought about this the other day. There's no profiling with the TSA. Oh, no, we can't profile. That's wrong. Can't do that. That's not right. That's wrong. There's many words we could call you if you profile. But we encourage all the people who are traveling, if they see anything suspicious, to report it. So just be vigilant. If you see something really strange and out of the ordinary, absolutely report it. Now, because you're going to Europe, this didn't happen in Europe. However, there have been a couple of scares in the United States, and I don't know if it's because people are freaked out and they're thinking that there's going to be some kind of blowback because of bin Laden. But in New York City, which is, you know, I love New York City, so I hate to say it, and I hope we never, ever, ever see it in our lifetime. But wherever there's a lot of people, you would think that would be where somebody would want to make a play, like the first time around. So there were a couple of rail security breaches within a couple of hours of each other. One at the World Trade Center. A guy slipped into the path tunnel, walked all the way to Jersey before saying he left a bomb in the tunnel. A nutball. Then there was another unrelated thing where you had four what they're calling urban explorers that infiltrated the construction at Second Avenue in the subway tunnel there. This is just days after the government warned that Al-Qaeda could be targeting U.S. trains. So that's not going to make people feel safe. There was no bomb on the tracks. It was just a nut. And there was nothing that happened with the four idiots who hopped down and were underneath. But, of course, if you see someone walking out in the middle of the night and then he gets questioned and says, oh, I got a bomb down there. That's the other thing. You can always be sure that some freak will take advantage of the situation, and that's exactly what happened in New York City. I mean, it's such a big city. It's our biggest city, and it's impossible to throw a blanket over it. Then you had this other strange deal with passengers and a crew that had to get to a guy who was going to, San Francisco. The plane was going to San Francisco, and he decided he was going to make a run, I guess, for the cockpit door. That will always freak you out, too. So you still are not suspecting this when you get on a plane. You're just not. And although people are ready and willing to jump up, I mean, there's a good question for you. Are you so lulled into a false sense of security that you couldn't react right away? How fast can you react, do you think, if something were to happen? I think on a plane I could react pretty fast because I've traveled so much, and I've traveled so much afterwards that I'm kind of alert as to what's going on. Unless I travel right after we've gotten off the show, then it's like somebody has given me 20 sleeping pills and I'm just crashed out. But there was a guy on a plane, Chicago to San Francisco. He was wrestled ultimately to the floor by flight attendants and some passengers. It happened late Sunday night. He started yelling. He was banging on the cockpit door. And it was right when the flight was approaching San Francisco. So the whole time he was fine until they got close to San Francisco. The 28-year-old was in the coach section of the plane. He started to move fast toward the front of the plane. And this happened about a half an hour before the plane was hitting the ground in San Francisco. And even though he moved fast, initially I think one of the flight attendants said, I think he's just going to the bathroom. But he walked past the first class section, then ran toward the cockpit door. He wasn't in they couldn't tell what he was saying. Passengers, I see, started saying that he was yelling Allah Akbar, so it scared the crap out of them. They wrestled him to the ground. That's the good thing. They got the nut off of the plane. The Secret Service was there, a retired Secret Service agent and a police officer. They happened to be there. And when he got off the plane, they smashed him into the handcuffs and they took him away. But these are two situations, I think, of people that are just unhinged and taking a sick advantage of what's happened with bin Laden because they know they can scare people. So, yeah, I guess that's the thing. It might not necessarily be what you think it is. All right, here quick is one from Brad. And Brad says, Kate, do you think the Republicans are toast after Obama got Osama? Great question. I think that if the election were held in the next couple of weeks, absolutely. It will be tougher for a Republican, no matter how many people would absolutely only vote Republican because of the feeling of euphoria of overgetting Osama bin Laden. So I think it's already tough to beat an incumbent president anyway. Stay with us. Odds and Ends coming up.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic, land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Our big story, food prices rise with gas prices. Economists expect food price hikes of 3 to 4% this year. From lettuce to tomatoes, virtually all fresh produce has doubled in price. In the past year, corn prices up 87%, soybeans up 41%, and wheat has climbed 54%. Demand for seed is extremely high. Stock up today while supplies last.
Yes, there is a threat of seed shortages due to climatic weather events. Be prepared. Save money. Eat healthy with SeedsNow.com. For a limited time, SeedsNow.com is offering a survival garden seed vault stocked with over 60,000 high-quality heirloom seeds, over 50 popular varieties. All SeedsNow.com seeds are grown in the USA, 100% heirloom, 100% non-hybrid, 100% non-GMO. Order now at SeedsNow.com or by phone at 818-584-1488. That's 818-584-1488. Remember, SeedsNow.com, your number one online source for quality garden seeds.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play your music. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my life with song. Let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Geek the Lady. It's getting hot where you live. Whew, I felt like I was a roasted chicken today. The good news is I've been working out, so I guess I feel like when you add the heat, you can slice off another pound or two. You have to. It used to be people would run with garbage bags. I'd see these guys, and they were in pretty good shape, and they'd be running with garbage bags wrapped all around them. I'd think, oh, you're going to have a sunstroke. Are you kidding me? But it was steaming hot in the great state of Texas. I don't know about across the rest of the United States. I heard it was pretty hot. In the Midwest, in Nebraska, it was up to like 95, 96 as well. It's funny, we complain about the winter and how we hate to dig ourselves out of snow and cold temperatures and we can't wait for the summer. Then when the summer gets here a little bit prematurely, we don't want to roast. This is why, if it wasn't so expensive, there are parts of California that are just perfect because you have those temperatures that are mild. You could just take away the mudslides, the fear of the earthquakes, the fires, and the expense would be the perfect place to live, like San Diego. Anyway, I'm getting diverted here. Let's get back on track. For odds and ends, a couple of interesting things that I saw that were coming up, and we might have mentioned this, maybe we didn't because there were so many serious things going on, but talk about buzz. How many people raise your hand if you have an iPhone? Remember, I have the special infrared glasses. Well, I see a lot of hands going up. I think a few of you are Android people, the sidekickers, but I think a lot of people have iPhones. Because I have an iPhone, I notice it more as to who around me has them and who's losing them. Boy, I've helped people find their iPhones. It's so little if you don't have it in that case. It's easy for it to slip away on you. Anyway, the new iPhone is this white iPhone, and the white iPhones were unveiled. They had a launch in Beijing, and apparently it was like lining up for tickets to the last concert of Lady Gaga or something, because they had massively wild skirmishes, is how it was described, at the Beijing Apple store. Isn't that crazy? Apple must, in a way, they must love that people will camp out anything to get whatever product they talk about, and, you know, there's buzz. That's creating real water cooler buzz. So Apple products are hot, 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 scorching hot in that country. And when they had the iPad 2, the white iPhone 4 last weekend, they say that the Saturday over the weekend, their sales were in trouble because you had some Apple employees and Chinese customers who were caught fist fighting outside of one of the Beijing stores. So they thought that the guy, the Chinese man, might be a scalper, and the buyer was trying to get a whole bunch of phones to sell at higher prices. And then they tried to cut in line. Nobody likes a cutter in any language. Doesn't matter if you're in New York, you're in the South, or you're in China. Nobody likes a cutter. So these white iPhones are pretty hot and impossible to get now, like in Beijing. I love it. They run out. Customers camp out for 65 hours because they want to get this thing. 65 hours. There is nothing that I would camp out for. I hate to say it. 65 hours, I'm so out of there. Matt, would you ever camp out for that long for anything? 65 hours. I don't care if the Phillies were in the World Series and I just had to camp out for tickets. I wouldn't even do that. But I wouldn't do it.
I've never camped out for anything, and it's usually because I just do not have the patience for that.
Neither do I.
I mean, the only thing I can even equate it to is back in high school, I did the homeless sleep out or something, where you go, it's like a charity thing, you raise money and you sleep outside in our high school parking lot for a night. I did that, but that was like a charity thing, and I was getting, you know, it was part of a deal, but I would never choose to sleep outside for 3 days straight, waiting in line. I could not handle it. Just do not have the patience.
I don't either. I lack patience, and especially in that particular situation, I'm sorry, the stinky thing, I can't do that. I can't be hosed down for 65 hours for what amounts to an iPhone. I would wait. I just would wait. I mean, I get the excitement of it. I guess there's something about being the first. I know that because I've had friends that got the iPads, and they were some of the first people, and they were like little boys, you know, they're 36 years old, talking about this tablet they got is unbelievable. I would wait.
I would wait, too, and I know, like, even if for some reason I convinced myself, okay, I'm going to go down and camp out, I'd probably last a couple hours before I'm like, all right, screw this, I'm going.
Yeah, I'd beg someone to wait in line for me then. I don't know. I'd rather just pay someone if I was that desperate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What do you need me if I'm that desperate, if for some reason it's just caught me where I'm in a Cabbage Patch crazed doll thing that I have to have this, which is not how I would feel. But let's just pretend for a second that I would be that way. I'd have to pay someone. I have to pay someone. All right, here's another thing for odds and ends that's a little bit off of the radar. I happen to read this, too. I was reading one of the L.A. papers, and they're talking about schools in California might ban chocolate milk. And the reason why is because of the sugar that's in, they say that's in the chocolate milk, that it's not healthy. So they're deciding whether or not on the cafeteria trays they're gonna ditch the whole chocolate milk thing and replace the flavored milks because they have really high fructose corn syrup, and they're gonna replace it with something else, natural sweetener or, you know, whatever. I'm sorry. I want my chocolate milk. When I was a kid, that was the moment I lived for. When I was going to PS 568, I wanted my chocolate milk. I didn't want white milk. I don't like white milk when I was a kid. Or when we had hot dog days, when I went to Holy Rosary, I'm drinking chocolate milk, guys. I'm probably most of you were too. Like kids now, you can't have anything in the machine. I get it. I get about being healthier and the factor of the kids getting bigger and all of that. But can they have anything? I mean, how much, for goodness sake, they're tiny chocolate milks. It's crazy. Jeff is listening to us in Oregon. Jeff, you have the floor. Hello.
Hey, Kate, what do you think of Memphis?
Oh, now we're going to hoops, huh? What do I think of Memphis? I'm surprised you didn't ask me about the Red Wings not going down. But, okay, what do I think of Memphis's chances to make it all the way?
Yeah, against Dallas. I think Memphis is going to beat Dallas. I have a feeling.
Oh, I totally think that Dallas will rock Memphis's world. I think the matchup favors Dallas so much. I think you look at Jason Kidd and he'll knock a bunch of 3-point shots in that you won't believe, that'll spin your head. Dirk Nowitzki, he'll do the same thing. Jason Terry. I think that they're on fire, and they take away from that beating, that drubbing of the Lakers, so much momentum, Jeff. I don't think so.
Don't forget that Memphis has Marcus Gasol, who plays center, who I know personally, Kay.
I'm not saying Memphis is not a good team, but I'm saying if you ask me straight up, Memphis is there and it's Dallas, no chance. I think Dallas takes it. What's your other thing?
What do you have for us for the trivia question about the meeting so many famous people? You said you had a prize this week.
Oh, well, what I'll do is when people tell me stories until I run out of my Evel Knievel books, you get an Evel Knievel book. You just have to hang on the line. And then you're entered into a drawing for our Leather USA coat that we're giving away in June. Perfect time for a leather motorcycle coat in June. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a drawing for all the people who had brushes with fame and won. Jeff, thanks. Good reminder there. If you have a brush with fame, let me know about it. AmericaTonight.net. Of course, you can always call the show, too. Remember, any thoughts on the show, all roads lead, easy for me to say, to AmericaTonight.net.